Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Duniya ke musafir, manzil teri qabar hai, tay kar raha hai jo tu, do din ka ye safar hai. Duniya bani hai jab se, duniya bani hai jab se, lakhon karor aaye, lakhon karor aaye, baqi raha na koi, mitti mein sab samaye, mitti mein sab samaye. Is baat ko na bhulo, sab ka yehi.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum to this edition of the Coffee Express, coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Markaz Sahaba Online, Sawtu Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the voice of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah in Durban, South Africa, on this day, the 28th of Safar, 1447, corresponding with the Gregorian date, the 23rd of August, 2025. Alhamdulillah, we just completed our segment on what the Quran has to say about the Yahud. We will now, inshallah, be talking to Brother Ahmed Parak, who was an ex-counselor and who is quite involved in the kafan and dafan affairs of the Muslim community. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Ahmed Parak.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all of the radio listeners on a beautiful Saturday morning. Marana, alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with another fine day, Marana.
Brother Ahmed, is there any new developments regarding the kafan and dafan issues?
Marana, nothing for this week. I think we will park it for another week or so. I'm just gathering a few new information that is coming through. I'm not finished yet with it, inshallah, but we will talk about it next week, inshallah.
Now, what's top on the news for the last week regarding our local politics? 5 KwaZulu-Natal municipalities have been flagged amid concerns that they are on the verge of financial collapse. And of course, we know that this is caused due to unnecessary spending and mismanagement of funds, etc. Now, this article was in the Mercury. Now, the question arises, why were most municipalities, because in that article in the Mercury, we read that most municipalities were unable or unwilling to comment on a report from a constitutionally mandated institution like AGSA. Does this indicate a lack of preparedness or a disregard for transparency and accountability?
Ji Molana, in total there's 20 municipalities in KZN that is really affected. And then if you from there, there's about 5 that is really distressed, that you can say in layman's language, they in Sakrat, they have to get provincial assistance, and also from national, they have to step in and put these municipality under administration so that we will be able to identify where the problem is. The biggest problem with all these municipalities except the Itigwini municipality, you know, because it's a big metro there, we collect money. On an average month, we collect in the region of just over 3 million or is under 2.5 billion comes through into our coffers at the Itigwini municipality. But the smaller municipality, if you take Indoni municipality, if you take the Maritzburg municipality, and then you get all the other ones, Ugume municipality, the biggest issue that they have, they don't know how to collect their debts. Now, that is a major thing. But the scary part of this whole thing is cholera. You know, if you're running a company, every month, by the 7th of the next month, you will get a management account. That management account, you'll get your debtors, creditors, how you did for that month, where we lack, where our expenses were high, all that. We have in all our municipalities, if you take the Itigwini municipality, we got in a region of about 45 legal eagles there, lawyers, full-time lawyers working for the municipality. They got CA chartered accountants, they got accountants, they got everything. If you have all these things in a municipality, how then you can go into trouble? And then the national government and the provisional government, Francis Rogers, who's the finance MEC of KZN, why is he picking this thing up now? Because the new financial year started on the 1st of July, and we finish off on the 30th of June, our financial year closes, unlike how you do it in the business, where you start on the 1st of March, and the end of 28th of February, your year is finished. Then most of them start jumping for the by March, April, because the bankers and everybody want the balance sheet. They want to know how they did for the year. It's the same concept in council as well. So my question always been with the national government, provisional government, why is it they leave it for so long when they could have picked this issue up long ago? And then this identify on a month-to-month, if you work out your management account, you'll know where you are, and then you'll start putting breaks. And on top of this, Maulana, the national government gives them 9.6 billion in grant in aid. Now, if you take that money, so where that money is going? That's one. Secondly, most municipalities, they don't have a plan. Now, when this money comes in grant in aid of 9.6 billion, they don't know what to do. 9 out of 10, even in our Itigwini municipality, and we brought the roof down on the city manager and the finance treasury, because we had to send like 3.5 billion national government to get back because we didn't spend that money. You got a prescribed time to spend that money. And if you don't spend that money in that prescribed time, they take that money back. So why let that money go? We could have fixed our roads. We could have fixed the electricity. We could have got our the pump, all our water issues, you know, in various pump stations. We could have put new things. We had the money, but yet national government took it away. It's same thing is happening with all the other smaller municipalities. They don't know how to use that money because they don't have a plan. They don't have a plan how to collect that money. Yeah, we introduced debt collectors. I think most of them are jumping at the moment because the debt collector is knocking at the door and is sending them demands. If you don't comply or if you don't do anything, that matter is going to be handed over to the attorneys, and that's what we are doing. So that's how when I was with MPEC, we took that decision. And you know, it paid dividends because now people are coming to us and saying, you know what, I can't afford it, but I owe you 1,000 rand. But I want to pay it over a period. Can you write the interest off? We say yes, and we give them 10 months to pay that money off to 100 rand a month. And Bob's my uncle. So that's how we are doing it. These municipalities, they got this. In every municipality, you have a financial guy there. You have the city manager. You have the speaker. You have the mayor, deputy mayor. You got all this. Now, they have an exco. In our municipality, because of our size, we got 10 members in the ESCO. They make the final decision before it even comes to the full council. So in a smaller municipality, you'll have 4 or 5 ESCO members. They must know everything. It's like a CFO of a company. He must know the finance. A CEO must know how the company is running, what is happening. So this is where our biggest problem is. They need to go for a fully fledged training seminar, teaching them how to run something. That's where we are lacking, and we are having this problem when you got 20 municipalities is under real distress, and 5 years, like you can say they must be liquidated, or you can say it must go into administration, let provisional government take over and run them. Then you bring the Section 216 into a play, they will stop all funding from national, they will be worse off. So this is where our problem is, Morana.
Now, has the province considered, or is it preparing to place any of these municipalities under administration, that Section 139 of the Constitution? If not, then why? And if so, what measures will be put in place to ensure such an intervention is more successful than previous attempts in other municipalities?
Jibolana, the Francis Rogers has, the Minister of National Minister of Finance has given in 15th of September to finalize who is going to go under administration and who they should appoint from the national government via the provisional government to take over and run these municipalities. If you know, about 3 years ago, the Indoni municipality, for 15 months, it was shut down completely. Provincial government was running the affairs of that municipality. And now they brought them back. Today, they're shining because they showed them the how to run. And we can teach them, if you don't do it right, we close shop. It's like a shop. If it's not producing profit and he's not doing the same, it's no use keeping that shop open. It's the same thing in provincial government, national government. If a thing is not working for you and is not bringing the profit and is not servicing the community in terms of the legislation, that should be closed, or it should be gone under administration and new people should be put in there to run the affairs. In all KZN municipalities alone, the actual budget generated for KZN municipality is 99.3 billion. Operation cost alone, that's the revenue that we need to bring in. And the only municipality is doing that is the Chigwini municipality at the moment. So there's a huge budget for this year, but they don't run it right. That is the biggest issue that we have with these municipalities. Now, you know, election is around the corner. They're going to do whatever it takes to make sure to fix it up, because otherwise they're going to lose voters left, right, and center. Because, you know, this coming election is coming in 2026. It's going to be the most vicious election of all times, because it's going to be a municipal election, and they don't want anybody, because they want people who can deliver. Now, the biggest other issue that we face is our book debt to collect your light account, rates account, water account, and all, has gone from 90 to 150 days. Now, when that happens, your money is not coming in. How do you service your debt in terms of all your creditors? How are you going to pay your suppliers when your book is not coming in? Now, in Durban, we took a decision how to bring in the money, and I was part of that the committee, how we showed them how to bring in the money into the coffers to make sure that our creditors are paid in 30 days. Most creditors in the other municipalities are crying at the moment, because they've gone up to their invoice comes on the 21st, they close book. By the 30th, they want to get paid. These people have, the suppliers are not getting paid because the monies are not coming. If your money is not coming, you won't be able to service your debt. This is the problem.
Now, five municipalities what we would say in Sakrat, in the throes of death. But there's like about 20. Is there any action being taken to ensure that that 15 also don't end up in the throes of death?
So what will happen on the 15 once the final report by Francis Rogers will be given to them, the Minister of Finance, National Minister, he will then decide. But from the five, definitely, administration, by before the end of September administration, they will appoint from national and province to come and take over these municipalities and put it right, and they will have to find a plan how they can do a turnaround strategy, how to make sure that these municipalities come back onto the green from the red. That's what they want to do.
Can you explain what is Act number 216 of the Constitution?
Gee, Molana, 216 gives the national government to close the tap. In other words, it's like the bank. You're working with the bank. The bank you have now, you sent your balance sheet to the bank. He says, no, your business is no more profitable. We're not lending you any more money. So that is the 216 gives the national government the powers to come and intervene in that municipality to say, you're not going to get the 9.6 billion for granting aid to run your affairs because you don't know what you are doing. Secondly, you're not bringing your book yet where you're supposed to bring it on a 30-day basis. You have gone to 150 days. There is a problem here. The manager of that municipality will be there, but maybe he will work under the administration. Whatever, now you cannot make decisions anymore. The municipality, Ugu municipality, will not make the decision. Everything will come from the provincial government and national government. They will make the decision. Any payment that you need, it has to go to province. Francis Rogers will sign it off. Then only the supplier gets paid. Everything will be, either they will say, whether we want to do, put you under administration for 12 months to see if we can do a turnaround, or 18 months or 24 months. That is the stipulated time to do a turnaround, and that's how they work. And if you can't do it, and obviously they know this, obvious, these officials at the municipalities will be replaced, and new officers will come into the municipality and take over to run that municipality. That's the 216 in terms of our constitution, gives the national government the authority, because where they have saw irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So when that happens, they will step in now, but they stepped in very, very late because, you know, there's not much time, because the new budget has been already allocated from the 1st of July. Now, they don't have a plan. Now, if you're not going to have a plan how you want to utilize this money, they will take this money away. So that municipality will lose that money unless they do something very quickly.
And the next issue is on this. Durban business raised concerns over Itikweni municipality's new energy initiative. The electricity and energy minister, Dr. Kosinso Ramakopa, authorized the city, meaning our Itikweni, to develop new electricity generation capacity through a Section 34 ministerial determination. Itikweni became the first metro in the country to receive this determination to procure new generation capacity to meet its growing energy demands. Now, as a councillor who's been there and, you know, experienced a lot, given the municipality's acknowledged history of project delays and infrastructure maintenance failures, what concrete steps will be implemented to ensure this initiative avoid past pitfalls? In your opinion, what steps should be taken so that this, you know, is a success?
Manana, first thing, we learned our lesson from when load sharing was at its peak. When that has come into play, we then decided through national government and the provincial government that we need to do a standalone. Standalone meaning that we now have to do solar farming, solar giving the community and the residents the facility where they will be able to put their own solar. And the big companies like Toyota, if you go to Macro or the car park is full of solar, they're generating their own power. Now, what happens in Macro, if you go to Macro, you will see you park your car underneath. Above your the roof is only solar panels. And whatever they generate there, it goes into a grid. That grid supplies the entire Macro, and whatever is left from there, it gets sold to the Itigwini municipality. It's the same thing. They have did their due diligence on this about plus minus 2 years ago or so, that they want to use KZN and the biggest municipality in KZN as a metro to do a model where we will be able to then generate 400 plus megawatts generation capacity to give solar and gas powered power to ease the burden of Eskom. So we will be like more or less becoming self-sufficient in our city to do our own generation of power. We're not dependent on Eskom. So that also over the years, after we'll see once they analyze how it is working, it's going to take time. You're 100% right in that, you know, things like that. They normally put it this part of the year because anything before election, they will come and put super, super things in on your table to say, we want to do this. We want to put big, we want to do the whole beachfront up like Cape Town waterfront. Yeah, all this is, you know, this is just a ploy to start to say to the community, to the residents and all, things are happening in Durban, so they will vote for the ANC and whichever party they want to vote for. So this is what happens. This ploy also. But in this case here, yes, there is this. This has been already tabled into council, and they have did the due diligence, and this will work for the city, and it will take the pressure away from Eskom and the municipality to make sure that you don't go back onto the load shedding. The only time you want to have load shedding when they're doing major repairs, when they're fixing the major outage boxes and all that, that's when you want to have that problem. For a couple of hours or a day, you are not going to have power because they're putting new cables and all that. Because what happened over the years at the moment, the biggest culprit of all time, that when they came and put your optic fiber on your road there to give you your optic cabling for your house to use it, eventually time will come where you're not going to have a lot of cables and all that. From the optic fiber cabling, you can run everything A to Z, your fridges, geyser, the entire lighting system and all. That's what. But when they came to dig up your roads, they have damaged your sewage pipes, your water pipes, and your electricity cables. So that's where they didn't do their due diligence properly to make sure who the contract they're giving it to and how they should have given them a plan. In this road here, if you take Brickfield Road, there's a plan of Brickfield Road. There's a cable of the electricity is running down this way, the water, the sewer, everything, how the channeling works, where the water issues are, because some of the water from the storm water goes into the river and all that. They have a plan. If you didn't follow that plan, and then you put your TLB, so they have damaged. That's where our biggest problem has come, because they have damaged our systems as well.
Now, all the focus is on solar energy. Why isn't, windmills being taken into consideration also?
Malana, if you go from South Coast right up to PE and all, there's a lot of windmills already started. They have already put this thing in place. Everything has to, because you see, the problem also, they leave everything too late. You know, down the line, our door open. In the next 5 years, my aim is going to be to open 15 more new stores. What you do, you start planning ahead how the growth is going to come, where the money is going to come, which areas we're going to do. You do all the feasibility. We leave it in council, in government. They leave it last minute, and then when the pressure comes from the community, then they start looking at things to bring in. But Molana, my advice to anybody at the moment, because of load sharing has come down drastically, there's so much of solar panels in the marketplace. If you go to Joburg, Cape Town, even Durban, warehouse full of solar panels. It is an opportune time now to get the right person. Emphasize, you need to bring the right person to put the solar on your roof, cut your cost down, and this is an opportunity. Whatever you got over and above your usage, sell it to the council. They won't pay you physically, but they will keep crediting you, so you'll be okay. You'll eliminate your problem in paying your rates, part of the electricity, cabling. You'll also pay for your water, all that. There's a big opportunity for whoever has got money to put this solar, this thing, because it's cheap at the moment, because people are sitting with it. Now, you know, warehouses full of solar, people bring it in. Now, you know, if they want return on their money. Now, if you're sitting on it, they're discounting it at the moment. But the secret of this is you need to bring the right guy to put that. If you need my assistant, I'll put you on to the guys that we are using at the moment, who gives you a proper certification, how it's done, how the, when the solar is installed, when it gets into the grid, how much of capacity you're reading per day, all that. My guy can show them exactly how this whole thing is all about.
You spoke about being credited, but the story is also about levies being charged. You know, I read in one article where people say when the meter readers came to take meter reading, they were photographing the solar panels also.
You see what they want to do, Molana? There's two things. The council and we are fighting. I'm fighting now from the outset. Number one is most of our peer community and residents already, like in my apartment, we got a borehole. So when you put the borehole, the law states you need to put a meter as well, because that water underground does not belong to you. It belongs to the municipality. So they think you want to pay. Now, you have to pay. The issue is, if they can't supply, then what you do? So that is the issue. So they at the moment, they're not jumping. The municipality is not jumping. But the time come, they want to leave. You will have to pay a levy for that water. The other issue is your electricity. There's a new system that we put in. And the new, from this month, the new tariff increase has kicked in. Now, because of the system didn't work, all the statements is not giving you the right figure for now. So they're rectifying it, and you get the right figure into your next month. Now, there's an ombudsman has been set up for Itigwini municipality. So previously, you had a problem, you write to them and you're saying they have not come back to you, it takes too long. The only department at the moment we have a problem is the water department, and that department, they need to get it right. Now, with water, and if you've got an ombudsman's job is to make sure to chase the water department. They said, so-and-so client, there's a letter here, they have to respond. So this is a big plus factor. They have put in place. And secondly, myself and a colleague of mine, you know, now are no more in council. We have now formed a company. We're doing what you call consulting. So a lot of people are coming, and I'm saving them a lot of money. When I was in council too, I saved, you know, I brought in the 50%, 800 million I brought in myself among our community alone. And then the city manager and the head of finance he complimented me. He says, you know what, if it wasn't for your community, that 800 million that came into our coffers, we could have never brought in 4.1 billion in for the month of the end of June. That money came in. So it is now they're fighting to bring that 50% back into the equation. Maybe it'll come in maybe October or so, October, November, December, over 3 months, that's what we are saying. If that comes, we, our people will come out of, you know, 50%. If you're owing 20,000, 10,000, you're writing off, at least you know you got, you're coming out of one big debt. You don't have that thing over your shoulders and or on your head anymore. So that is what we are doing at the moment.
Jazakumullah khair al jaza for your valuable time and valuable information. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you in this world and in the Akhirah, and also give you swift and complete shifa. Insha'Allah, we will talk again next Saturday. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Brother Ahmad Parak with the segment Straight Talk, where we discuss local politics and the burial issues related to the Muslim community.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.